The Lord is, I want you guys to sing it until you believe it. It's what I almost felt this morning. The Lord said, I want you to sing it until you believe it. Why? Why? No, seriously, why? Why is it important that we really believe it and live from it?
Otherwise you're faking it.
And the world will pick up on it that so quickly.
Yeah.
That we're just into religion. And we just basically, what is the word? Skynheilig. What's it in English? Hypocritical. We're going to be hypocritical if we don't really believe. So this morning when we say, aan U is die mag, aan U is die krag, and alles wat U regeer, do we really live from a place that we really believe that God is in control of our lives? And it was such an amazing week. We preached last week. Can I make quite a bit? We preached last weekend, and the title of the preach was Breaking the Silence. And we preached about how important it is for us to use our mouths, our voices that the Lord gave us, to spread the gospel of Jesus. Because if we're not going to do that, then people will not walk in the things that God has for them, because there's a good possibility that if you don't speak to someone about Jesus, that that person might never hear of Jesus. And so we had some testimonies. What's my water bottle? Sorry, Hilla. I was deep in worship. I was totally not preparing for this moment. And so we spoke about breaking the silence and how important is it that we express through our voices and what God has gave us, and to use opportunities to speak to people about Jesus. And this morning I want to take it a step further. And I feel that is where the worship this morning comes in and becomes such a key thing. Because it is what we express that means most. It is what we say that means most. And so the title of the preachers, and Karel Grim Opsida, is The Power of Seeds. Man, as when Peter, I told you I was going to preach from it, when Peter had naar die kerk nou, of naar die dienst gisteren, ach, last Sunday, come in and make it, and praat with seeds. Let's go and see that. As he said it, it just dropped in my heart. That the Lord needs to tell us, listen, what are we saying to people? How do we spread the gospel? How do we, and we're going to look at, there's many different ways to do that. You can rent yourself a little speaker and a microphone, and you can stand there on the corner of Umtata Street and Bosbolan or whatever, and you can preach the gospel there from there. You can, maybe the Lord will create an opportunity for you where you, in some form of leadership, we will be able to preach like I'm also preaching. So in that way, we spread the word. But 99% of the time, the gospel and the talking about and our testimony comes through interpersonal relationships. It's where we are just one-on-one or in a small group or in a big group, maybe sometimes. But it's where we get to share one-on-one with an unbeliever about Jesus. That's most of the time how it happens. If you hear testimonies, and we heard last week, we heard some testimonies, mostly it was one-on-one. Seldom you get something where a person will come and hear the gospel in church and they will get saved, or they will come to church out of their own, that type of thing. And so it is very important for us to look at the very small and insignificant times when we plant a seed in someone's heart. And because in our, we live in a world where everything is about the big. It's about the, I need the big opportunities. You know, you almost feel as if I'm too insignificant. I don't have a story to share. I don't have something to share. And we look at those things and sometimes at our own testimony, of our own lives, and we feel it's almost insignificant. It's not worth sharing that much. There's other people that's got bigger testimonies. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible speaks a different one. And we're going to look at Mark 4. To kick off with, Mark 4, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? And then verse 31, it is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. And I actually went looking, I couldn't find mustard seeds. I wanted to give you all a little mustard seed. But trust me when I say, you know when that little back of a needle or a spelt, there's this little thing. That's how big a mustard seed is. It's a small, little, insignificant, little thingamajiggy. And I read up on a mustard. I thought it was a tree, but actually it's a big plant. It becomes one of the biggest plants, that it sometimes can become such a big plant that it actually looks like a tree. And that's why the Bible uses that as an illustration. And so, for that little small thing, and Jesus is teaching his disciples, he says, the kingdom, if you are functioning in the kingdom, if you are in me and I am in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, there's something of the kingdom at work in you, where even the smallest little insignificant little thing can change the world. That's basically what Jesus is saying there. It can change the world, definitely for that person that you are sharing it to. It can change that. And so we have to look at, in the kingdom, we're living in an upside down kingdom as well. The kingdom of God is not the way that we live. The Bible specifically says that sometimes in your eyes, my position will probably be the highest up. You know, we almost look at like a ladder. Now, he's the lead elder of the church, and he's a pastor, and the Bible has got it the other way around. When we get to heaven, I might be, you know, I always see this picture of where I walk past Jesus and say, oh, hi, Willem, lekker, it's by yes, he's so come, welcome, great for you, sit back. And then it's the one that made tea, or it's the one that greeted someone here in front, and there was no eyes on that person. There was no focus on that person, but yet you were faithful in what you did. You were faithful in just giving a person a hug or a handshake. And I'm looking at that, and sometimes I think that person will walk past Jesus and he says, oh, I'm so glad that you were here. And for you guys, I mean, you are such a significant part of this family. You have such a significant and important part to play. And sometimes you will look at me and you say, you better miss people longer and so. Jesus said, Amazon. I say, here is people longer and so. You better and stuff. And so we live in a kingdom where it's not always the biggest and the brightest and the sharpest dude in the sheds that count the most in the kingdom. Does it make sense? And so I want to go on to Revelation again. I'm going to take you back to where we were. We said, Lars, break the silence. Come on, guys. We need to break the silence. We need to be able and in a position to speak about Jesus. And so I want to take you back to Revelation that we read last week as well. And they have defeated him. That's the enemy. That's the kingdom of darkness. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Without Jesus and without the blood of Jesus, we are nothing. We can't do a single thing. And by their testimony. And then it goes on to say, and they did not love their life so much that they were afraid to die. And so there's again two ingredients here. The first ingredient is our testimony, but the second ingredient that is equally important is they were not afraid. There was a boldness, there was a courage in them to say, I will speak, I will say, I will testify of Jesus. And it's not always your life testimony. A seed that you're planting in someone else's life isn't always that I need to go and tell them my whole life story. A seed can be as insignificant as just mentioning it in a conversation that you had quiet time that morning. That's a seed. Immediately that person will start thinking, right? Quiet time. Well, it's a good meditate. And then the next time when you speak with them again, you take it a step further and you say, because I pray in my quiet time and I spend some time with the Lord Jesus, and then that person, a second seed gets planted, and as they start thinking, spending time with Jesus, I've never heard of that. I know about preaching and I know about taking communion. And when we grew up, we had all of these religious things that we did, but how can you speak to Jesus, you know? And suddenly there's a seed planted in that person's heart that the Holy Spirit can start working with. In short, that scripture in short means you bring the testimony, Jesus will do the work. He will bring the power. You bring the testimony, he will bring the power. And the thing is, I'm going to read you a scripture that I'm going to use, and I'm giving you a warning, I'm going to use it a little bit out of context. It's not exactly what the context of the scripture is, but there's a principle that I still want to underline in this. It's in 2 Timothy. Preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. And then it says for verse 3, and that's the principle that I want to speak about. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itchy ears wants to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Now, I know this speaks more about teaching and what we teach, and we must make most, but the principle is there, is that we are still living in a world where you don't go to jail for naming the name of Jesus in South Africa. Is that not a privilege?
Yes.
There are places, there are places that you can go, that you can go in this world today, and you will be prosecuted, you will be thrown into jail. In some places, you will even be killed if you are a follower of Jesus and if you make mention and testify that in front. And so in South Africa, we're still living in a time where there's still time for us to do it now. And the Bible is warning us. It says there is going to come a time for all of us that is going to be so difficult. It's going to be increasingly difficult. And even apart from the fact that you will be prosecuted, people will start, and that for me is the difficult one. That for me is the one that I'm hearing stories of people openly rejecting Jesus. It's like they will open that. As I was growing up, that never happened. Because everybody kind of wanted to show that they are Christian, and they wanted to show that I'm. But these days, a person will tell you in your face, listen, don't come with your Jesus nonsense to me. I'm okay as I am. They will tell it in your face, and they will not be. And so there's a time coming where you will even try to lay a seed. You will even try to plant a seed, but their hearts will be so hardened that it will not be able to fall on good soil. And so make use of the time while we are still here. I want to name 4 points just about seeds. I won't take too long on that. The first thing is that every seed carries potential. And it is not up to you to determine what that potential is. Let the Holy Spirit determine what the potential is. Because often we will look at a seed and we will tell ourselves this, we will lie to ourselves, and the enemy will say, no, that's too insignificant. It's too small, it's too this, it's too that. You don't determine the potential of that seed. You just be obedient and you sow that seed. So that's the first thing. Every seed has potential. Don't despise small beginnings. And that's what Jesus says. It's the smallest of the seed, the mustard seed, but it can grow into something that you would never have even imagined in your own heart. You know, when we planted this church 5.5 years ago, we were 8 people. We said to one another, we looked at this potential of this seed, and we wanted to kind of make it easy for ourselves. You know that word where they say, well, you manage your own expectations? So you manage your expectations. So if you set the bar low, then you won't be disappointed. And so we said to one another, if we can find 20 people in Krobo that loves Jesus and wants to serve Jesus with us, that will be amazing. And it went way beyond that 20 people that we ever thought. And so we are not the ones to distinguish and to say what the potential of that seed is. We just do the obedience part. God will do the rest. What you start with is never as important as what God can do when He starts growing it. When you start it will always look more insignificant. It will always look more small. A conversation with someone or whatever the seed is that you are planting. The second thing is, the seed must be sown. When the seed is in your hand, it means nothing to God. It is only when you sow the seed that it becomes something where God can use it to do something spectacular in a person's life and in a community's life. I almost want to say that. It has only got potential when it is planted, when it is sown. As I wrote it here. In your hands, it means nothing. In Jesus' hands, it means everything. Yeah. All right? Everything. Anything can happen. To sow the seeds in the heart of people are most effective when it's your own seed, when it's your personal seed. Yes, we can sow seeds from the Bible. We can sow seeds of truth. But if I can give you a tip, if you want to reach to hearts, if you want to make a connection with people, if you want that seed to stick, make it personal. Speak from your own life. Don't just speak from someone else's life. If there is a scripture that the Lord, tell that person how it is that scripture impacting you. Make it relatable to that person. That's just some practical advice. But I've, you see, it's a strange thing. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. If you want to help the Holy Spirit and play on the Holy Spirit's heart, side to soften a heart that you are sharing with, you soften your heart first. You be vulnerable first. And you will be amazed at what the Lord can do with that seed of vulnerability and honesty and speaking from your life. Humility. And just being honest with that person. Not trying to say the right thing, but sometimes saying the right thing in Jesus' heart. That Jesus can use that amazingly well. Seed will always need to cost you something. It will need to cost you something. A farmer never tells the seed, "See, it is time to be sown," and then he goes back into his house and has some coffee. He's the one to sow the seed. And it takes something of you. You will have to spend time with people. You will have to sometimes... Have you ever had this scenario, or was it only just me? There's two or three people speaking. They're standing in a corner. Let's say it's a school event. And two or three dads are standing there by two together. Now everything in you is looking for, where am I going to go? And then the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to go and stand with them. Eh? Go and talk with them." And then everything in you is like, "No, Lord. Where's Mark? I'm going to look for Mark. He's a friendly face. I would rather..." And then there's a Lord said, "No, I want you to go." And then it takes something of you as you go into that. It takes guts. It takes courage. And then suddenly you find yourself in the conversation and you feel awkward. You feel that you're whatever the case may be. But the Lord can use those situations for you to plant seeds in the hearts of people. But it will cost you something. Sometimes it will cost you to sit out an hour with someone and go and have a coffee with them. Sometimes it will cost you something. And then I also want to say, Mark, you said it earlier. What is it? Preach the gospel. And
preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words.
If necessary, use words. I love that. Because I want to say the biggest seeds that you can plant is not always with your words. The biggest seeds that you can plant is sometimes in your actions and your reactions. When someone gives you a clap and you look at them and you show them the other cheek, they did not expect that reaction. They were actually expecting, and especially in the world that we're living in today, a guy comes to you and he cuts in front of you with the traffic. Everything in you wants to wave with him with a specific finger. And then the Lord says, "No, this is not, I don't want you to plant the seed in that guy's heart of me." And instead of that, you say, "No, you can come. No, it's fine. No, all good." Imagine the seed that it plants in that person's heart when we start to do that. Imagine the seed. I can tell Philip that I love you, Philip. You are my BFF, bro. I can tell it for him until I'm blue in the face. When he will really understand that love and see that love, is that when his car breaks down, I said, "Hey, here's my keys. You can have my car for the week." That's when he will share. When his tire goes flat and I said, "Listen, can I get come on?" That's when he will know that I love him. And that's the biggest seeds. Not the in terms of size, but in terms of impact, it's the biggest seed. So seeds are not just planted with words. So often the Lord can use these seeds to be planted by our actions. I'll never forget, I was at work. I was still in the early days. And I was very much a closet Christian at that point. It was just me, myself, and I. I didn't come out of the closet yet as a Christian. I loved Jesus and I followed Jesus. But in certain circumstances, it was for me extremely uncomfortable for them to know that I'm a follower of Christ. And so for such a long time, I assumed that nobody at work knew that I was a Christian. Nobody at work, you know, knew my, I'm going to say my dirty little secret. But you know what is the funny thing? There was one occasion where something went wrong and we all stood in a circle and we were talking about something that was just going wrong. And then the one lady that was a non-believer actually said, "Willem, will you need my phone's bit me?" How did you know? It was like, how did you know? And that is almost like the planting seeds as well. Just sometimes through living Jesus and Jesus being able to live through us, it speaks louder sometimes than our words. But sometimes the Lord wants us to use words. So don't discount that entirely. Don't be insecure. That's why we had, if you can't sing this song that we sang this morning out of eight fallables and with all conviction, and jy's niks insecure vir hierdie mense nie, jy's skaam nie, ek kan my hande oplig, ek kan shout vir die Here. And that's sometimes why we encourage you to do that, because it breaks open an ability to walk in the freedom that the Lord has for you. Not always here, but when you go outside. Because sometimes courage and boldness gets generated in here. And so that the time that you find yourself in the world and with other people, you're able to actually voice that. Because if you are going to be insecure about the gospel here, you're not going to be able to share it out there. There's just no way. So don't be insecure, find your courage amongst us. If you find yourself talking to another brother or a sister in church or on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or even when you find them in spa and you are unable to twist the conversation and turn it into a conversation about Jesus, I'm telling you, you're going to struggle to do that with an unbeliever as well. So use your family to practice in a way. John 13, listen to this. Jesus confirming what I'm just preaching. No, it's the other way around. John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And then verse 35. By this, just loving one another. Just by loving one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Ooh. It's through our actions. It's through our living with one another that we get to testify about our King Jesus that is in our lives like nothing else before. Allow the Lord to do that. The third and second last one. The seed requires process. You see, when you lay a seed in someone's life, and this is very important, sometimes again, now I'm managing expectations now. This is what this point is about. Sometimes we have a conversation, and I'm going to use Stefan as an example. Now I'm feeling something in the Lord that the Lord wants Stefan to be our next youth leader. This is just an example. Oh. Yeah. Now I come to Stefan and I lay a seed and I feel in the Lord that, I feel that in him, and I lay a seed in Stefan's heart and I said, Stefan, I do feel that there's a gifting on you. I do feel that there's something of the Lord has called you to a form of leadership. And it might be, you know, pray on it. Ask the Lord to show you what it is, and you plant the seed. And now Stefan goes away, and Stefan will react. Now Stefan will react. He will either pray on it, he will actually go, he will actually seek the Lord on it, or maybe he will go on with his life for a moment. But there needs to be a process in between when I lay the seed and when I sow the seed, and when there's actually a harvest. Yeah. And that process is up to, number one, people will make their choices. And that choices is not always up to how well you sow the seed. Sometimes you will sow the seed amazingly well. And you will be so faithful and so obedient to Jesus. But that soil will just fall on hard ground. And it will be unable to germinate. It will be unable to set root. That is Jesus' responsibility. You keep on what you are doing. But what sometimes also happens, and that's what I also want to say, that's sometimes the process. Sometimes we need to sow multiple seeds. Sow it again. Don't just sow it one time. If you sowed it once, go again. I go back to Stefan and I say, hey, you know what happened over? Oh, yeah, sorry, man. I got busy with the pakhuis and the mense. And then I lay a second seed and I say, but I really feel that it's something. There's a youth training coming up now. Just maybe pray on that if the Lord maybe. And lay a second seed. And then what the Lord comes, and that's so amazing, and that's why he needs the whole body. Then like two Sundays ago, where there's an opportunity where we're just in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord now brings prophetic words, now Mark comes, and Paul speaks about that. Mark comes and now Mark waters that seed that has fallen ground. And Mark will bring a prophetic word, and he says, Stefan, the Lord is showing me this picture of you standing in the middle of a bunch of young adults, or youth. And Stefan, my word, how did Mark know that? And so the rest of us then come and the body starts playing its part as you start watering the seed that I planted in his heart. And then the Lord can use that to bring germination and to bring growth even in that. So growth doesn't happen overnight always. And I've written some things down. Follow up your sowing, give it water, and most importantly, pray. Follow up your sowing, give it water, trust the body, each part to do it, or each member of the body to do its part, and then most importantly, pray. Trust the Lord to do a work that you cannot do in yourself. You might not see the growth. You might not see something, but trust that the Lord is doing something. Trust that He's doing something as you wait and as you water. Galatians 6. Listen to this. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's a perfect scripture. We will. That's a promise that the Lord says. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep on spreading those seeds into the hearts of people. Then the last point, which I'm finishing off with this morning. The seed multiplies by itself. And it's something it's almost like an encouragement of the Lord. That He sometimes wants to show us the bigger picture. Because sometimes when we just look at what we can see now, we sometimes struggle to really find a sense of motivation, almost, if I can use that word. It sounds very much like motivational speaking now. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when the Lord, through showing us the bigger picture, gives us faith for something. So it's not motivating us, it's giving us faith. Motivation is something different. We get motivational speakers that can motivate you, but motivation never lasts long. When we've got faith for something, and when the Lord gives us faith for something, it will last you a lifetime. And so sometimes the Lord wants to show us the bigger picture in order for us to learn. So what the Lord does is He says actually to us that if we bring the seed, if we as a body water that seed, He will create the growth, He will do the germination. But then there's a promise of the Lord. That as that thing grows, as that seed grows, and we saw that where Jesus says that is how the kingdom is, it will form a plant, it will form a tree, it will form some kind of plant or tree. And what happens next is that brings fruit of His own. That brings seeds of His own. And so seed brings seed. And this is what happened here. We were 8 people that started here. And look around you, there's more people. Because there was, and I promise you this, I was not the one that invited every single person to this church. Most definitely not. There are many people, if not most people, sitting here that were invited by someone other than me. Or that ended up being here with not my name. And so we all, as we plant our seeds, suddenly there is a seed in Peter's life and it starts growing. And it starts growing, and it starts growing, and now suddenly there's a fruit coming from his life as he starts testifying about Jesus, as he starts breaking his own silence. And then someone comes to church because of that, or they get saved, or they hear of Jesus. John 12. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I want to ask you this morning. Who's willing to die with me as a seed? Who's willing to lay down your insecurities and sometimes your being a little bit scared, sometimes being a little bit insecure about different things, but actually willing to lay down and be adventurous and be courageous with the Lord? And we had a conversation this morning, me, myself, and Uncle Seth, we had a conversation. Now, I had a conversation with Shane and Mark. And we said, you know, there's different situations where we can all now go out here and in our own striving, in our own flesh, and, you know, doing works of the flesh, we can start preaching or we can start talking and we can, you know, do all kinds of things. But if it's not under the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes cause more harm than we can do good. And so whenever I'm saying, you know, if I am saying, listen, let's be courageous. Let's go on this thing and let's trust the Lord that we plant seeds. there also needs to be with that the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because with the leading of the Holy Spirit comes timing, which is super critical. You want to plant the seed in that person's heart at the right time. Who knows when the right time is? The Holy Spirit knows when the right time is. So we have to be in step with the Holy Spirit. And so don't just go like a... You've seen those... that's what gun man. I sit there, I sit there on bullets when you can and I stand there and so a stand. And then you... Now, I've seen a movie once where the guy, and it can shoot off a lot of rounds, very effective. But for that thing to hit the target, it's like all over. And that's not what the Lord has called us to. The Lord has called us to be in step with the Holy Spirit, and that's almost like being a sniper. That's blowing one bullet at a single time and trusting the Lord. Lord, when should I pull the trigger? Lord, what should I aim at? Lord, when I do, what size of bullet do you want me to use? And to be in step with the Holy Spirit. But when He does tell you, no, track is sneller, that you are ready to do that. And that you're in a position to be able to do that. And that's sometimes how it is. It's not always preaching from the front. It's not always just coming into a conversation and saying, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus and I want you all to, you know, turn or burn or what is that? That's not always the most effective way. Sometimes the Lord will use one single conversation that you have with a person in private where there's nobody else around. And you just plant a subtle seed in their hearts. Jesus loves you. You know what that means for people? I had that once happen to me where I had a conversation with a guy. And in the middle of the conversation, I just said to him, listen, man, I just feel God wants to say He loves you, man. And I could see immediately his eyes teared up and immediately it had an impact on him. Not the testimony of nothing, just Jesus loves you. And sometimes that has the biggest impact. But the seed will never end with you. The seed will never end with you. And I think that's the bigger picture that Jesus wants to lay with us this morning. The gospel of Jesus, the witnessing of Jesus, started with 12 disciples. Well, 11. If you exclude Judas in that. It started with 11 disciples and then a small group of people that followed Jesus. That's it. And billions of people got saved and will be with us one day in heaven because of those people that sowed seed. It will never end with you. See the bigger picture. Don't just look at yourself, but see the bigger picture and see what God can do with that. So I want to ask you, just in a form of response, and I always say this and I say it again, this is not one of those moments where you are responding to me, and it's really, if there's something in your heart, yet last week when we spoke about breaking the silence, but again today, where you are in a place where you really say, Lord, I want to start counting for you. I want to be a person that starts planting seeds. I want to be used in your kingdom to impact lives. I want to be used so that through my life and through the fruit that you've already worked in my life, that other people might hear of you, come to you, give their lives to you, so that you can again then bring fruit forth and seed fruit in their life. If you have such a desire, don't you just want to stand with me? And I want to pray for us and for those of you that does have such a desire this morning. Thank you.